Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Noach. This week, Rabbi David Levenkruis discusses Noach. Rabbi David Levenkruis is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkruis.
Thank you, Larry. Hi, my name is Noah, and I'm an alcoholic. This is a mantra that many of us know, either because we've attended Alcoholics Anonymous or because we've seen it from represented in popular culture. I'm not sure whether Noah is an alcoholic in the classic sense or not, and there are as many reasons given for alcoholicism as there are theorists of it. But what I would like to do today is look at Noah and the episode that happened after the flood, when he exits the ark, plants a vineyard, becomes drunk, and uncovers himself. I would like to look at this episode as a way to understand why it could be that some people move to drink, but more importantly, as a way to understand how do we deal with a difficult situation, how do we deal with a difficult situation in the aftermath. Bereshit 9, verses 20 to 21, it says, Vayechal Noach Isha Adama, and Noah began to be a man of the soil. Vayita Kerem, he planted a vineyard. Vayesh Minayayin, and then he drank some of the wine. Vayishkar, and he became drunk. Vayitgal Betoch Ohala, and uncovered himself in the tent. The first question we need to ask ourselves, we've just had the flood. What is going on? Why is it that the very, very first thing that Noah does is he plants wine? Does he crave wine so much that he plants it before everything? Did he so much want grapes and wine that he took shoots into the ark with him? I'm just speculating. And indeed, it's very, very interesting. He seems far more proactive here in creating fruit of the vine than he is at the beginning of the story when God tells him that God is going to destroy the world. And one of the famous comments is that Noah basically does not try and save the entire world. He saves himself, his family, but does not worry that the rest of civilization is going to be destroyed. We can think of him perhaps as being not very proactive, but here he's extremely assertive in doing what he wants to do. It's also not an act of the moment. It's not something rash. It's not as if he comes out of the ark and, you know, goes to the local bar and has a drink. Winemaking is wine is the most complicated drink that a person can make. He comes out of the vine and immediately starts on one of the most complicated things that a person can do in order to quench, literally and metaphorically, some type of a thirst he has. And of course, this does not pass the commentators by. In Sanhedrin, in the Gemara, in page 78a, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Noach, God says to Noach, Noach, lo haya lecha lelamed me'adam harishon, you should have learned from Adam, the first person in the world, shelo garam lo ele yain, that what he did was caused by yain, and this is going command amar oto ilan shachal mimeno adam harishon gevenaya. This is going according to the idea that the forbidden tree that Adam ate from was the vine. I know in Western culture and in Christian culture, it's very often seen as being the apple. Adam and Eve ate from the apple, but one of the strong Jewish traditions is that it is in fact vine, and it makes sense. Wine makes you drunk. Interestingly, in both the stories, they have nakedness. Adam realizes he is naked, whereas Noah uncovers himself. There's a major difference between them, though, and that is that in some sense, Adam becomes wise from wine. He realizes that there's such a thing as tzniut, as modesty in the world, whereas Noah, at least on the outset of it, becomes stupid from wine. But I will ask the question, did he really come stupid from wine? Whatever it is already in this comment from Sanhedrin and my ideas upon it, we see the idea that wine and drunkenness and most things in life can go in lots of different directions. Adam drinks and becomes wise. Noah drinks and loses his inhibitions and in fact engages in a way that is not wise or at all. Rashi, the third on your source sheet, commenting on Breishit 9:20, says that the word vayichal, which is used at the beginning and which we translated as began, like the Hebrew word lahatchil, over here he says, vayichal asa atzmo chulin. He made himself profane, chol, meaning empty. Shayalo lasok tchila benetiya acheret. He should have started with something else. On the one hand, growing vines is the sign of an agricultural civilization. It's the apex. We get very excited. We go into wine lands, and we visit them. And it's always very, very interesting. And according to some, maybe Noah even invented vine growing. But Rashi asks something else. Why didn't he start by creating a society? I want to say, why didn't he start by planting potatoes? But that would be a complete anachronism. But why didn't he start? Why of all things does he start with a vineyard? And Rashi brings up the idea that he made himself profane. Grapes may not be inherently profane. We say Kiddush on Friday night. It's such an important part of ritual. And this is brought up. This idea is brought up by Menachem Liebtag, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, when he looks at a number of verses from Breishit, all of whom use the word vayechal, and this is what he says. What unifies all of these cases, I'm quoting directly, he says the word huchal can mean to begin or to profane, and in the double meaning lies the question. Each of these stories has a beginning which can go in one of two ways. Each beginning is innocent enough, but it has the potential for chilul, and that is where it seems to be heading. The world is expanding, but it's expanding to do bad. And he now goes on, all the verses that I gave you over here, he uses each one of these verses to prove his point. Noah plants a vine, which can be used for the best of reasons, but it goes wrong. The same with the Tower of Babel, which we also read in this week's parasha, where they started building a tower, which could be good, but it became bad. The idea is also reflected in the way that the rabbis perceive Enosh. That is one of the other verses. They say that his Avodah Zarah, his idol worship, began as a means to reach God. He intended good. The sun is an intermediary to God, but it all went wrong and ended in Chilul. Similarly, another one of those verses I've given you speaks about Nimrod, who was the first person to use force in the subjugation of and conquering of entire cities. Again, this is something that could have been used for good, but instead was used for evil. So Menachem Liebtag and Rashi bring up the very, very powerful idea that the wine can be for good or for evil. So just to summarize where we are until now, we have Noah, he plants a vineyard. It's not sure why. It doesn't seem to be the most logical first thing to do. He should have learned from Adam. Nakedness is involved. Adam became wise, whereas Noah became stupid. This is emphasized by the word vayechal, which is used in many contexts about something which could be good, but goes in the other direction. And the question that then presents itself most naturally is, how do we understand Noah? Are we just judgmental of him, or do we try and understand what is going on? The Bible commentator Luzzatto, in his commentary, says, as Noah was the first to cultivate the vine, he was ignorant of the intoxicating effect of its fruit. And it could very, very easily be almost like a child who drinks something, some sweet wine for the first time. It tastes good. It makes you feel good. How's one to possibly know? And indeed, it could be, you know, the defense of ignorance. I think the Etz Chaim, this is conservative commentary, the commentary of the conservative movement on the Torah, says something very, very interesting, which I'd like to expand upon today. It writes, overwhelmed by the task of rebuilding a destroyed world, finding himself virtually alone and friendless in a near empty world, or perhaps burdened by a sense of guilt at having survived when so many others perished, Noah turns to drink. Another Menachem, my Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi Menachem Schrader, pointed out something very, very interesting. He said maybe Noah was traumatized by water. He's been in this ark for this long period of time. All he's looked outside is water. We all know, even we feel it. After days and days of rain, the last thing one wants is more rain. It depresses one. And maybe, like Macbeth, couldn't get the blood off his hands, however hard Macbeth tried. So too, Noah is traumatized. The last thing he wants is to see more water. The survivor guilt is so strong. Guilt at being the favored child. Guilt at being who was saved. Guilt at being the one who was saved. Guilt at maybe he should have done more to help. Anger at God. Really, really angry at God. Maybe saying to God in some way, I'm not taking your drink, I'll make your own. I'm not prepared to drink this water of destruction. Perhaps in some way he's saying to God, these are really deep ideas, I'm saying them quickly, but I think these are really deep ideas. Perhaps he's saying to God in some way, God, you didn't succeed. You thought you could be so clever. You thought you could create, save the world. You thought you could destroy everybody and just save people. But look, there's a price to be paid for doing this. You did not save the world. Look, I'm a drunken wretch. I've uncovered myself, almost as if the good child, who it's too hard for them to be good anymore, becomes a bad child to try and prove to the parents that they're putting too much of an all, too much of an expectation, too much of a load, too much of a mantle, too much of a burden upon them. So Noach is traumatized. He's sick of water. He doesn't want to be... He feels angry at being the only survivor. The task of having to continue civilization is too much for him. And what's really fascinating is that Noah at no time speaks until he has become drunk. We don't hear his voice. In order to hear his voice, he actually has to mess up. Noah becomes a real person by messing up. And I think there's something very, very powerful in that for all of us. Of course, a good person tries to do the best in their life. Of course, a good person tries to do the right thing. But we very, very often come who we are by our imperfections. I can't think of it now, but Shakespeare has a beautiful quote just about that, about how we become who we are through our imperfections. Sometimes one has to make mistakes in order to become the person that we are supposed to be. And so, rather than saying, hi, my name is Noah and I'm an alcoholic, I would like to think that a better summary of what's going on over here is, hi, my name is Noah. I'm a regular human being. I make mistakes sometimes. I mess up sometimes. But I'm able to go beyond that too. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkurs. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.